Welcome back, everybody. What are we singing first? Hideth My Soul?
He
hideth my soul. You want to bring him back to the... Oh, you already did? I don't know what number it is in the room. It's 46 here. Is it... Yeah, give him one. Why aren't you going to read it from... Yeah, from the room? If we have it, that is. 46? No, we don't. So he's going to need a book. And then It Is Well With My Soul, isn't it? Which one is it, next one or something? Or? Well, the very first one in the book is... Okay, first we're going to sing He Hideth My Soul, and then number 321 is It Is Well With My Soul. So first is He Hideth My Soul. My Soul, number 321 in the room.
When peace like a river ascends my way,
Hasten the day when our faith shall be sight. You know, some of us can actually say that's already happened with some, you know, because you actually can't see the Lord's hand move in your life. But what this song, of course, is talking about, when that eastern sky splits and you have no doubt. I guess we're going to do the children's story. Mondo's going to do it, so...
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. This story here is about the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. And it's a three-part story. Hang on, let me give you the link. There we go. Okay, and this could be found in John chapter 11, verse 27 through 24. Uh-oh, I think that's a typo there. But hey, Slate. Anyway, let's begin. A man named Lazarus lay sick in Bethany, Mary and Martha's village. These women sent a message to Jesus. Lazarus is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he waited 2 days. Then Jesus said to the disciple, "Let's go back to Judea." "But teacher," they said, "people want to kill you there." "Our friend Lazarus is asleep," he said. "I'm going to awaken him." "Well, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll be fine." Jesus meant that Lazarus was dead. the disciples didn't understand this. When Jesus got to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Martha went out to meet Jesus while Mary stayed home. "Lord, if you'd been here," she said, "Lazarus would have not died. But I know God will give you anything you ask. Your brother will return from death," Jesus said. And Martha said, I know, Lord, he'll come back with the, wait, he'll come back in the resurrection day. Oh, I think I did a typo there. On the resurrection day. He'll come back in the resurrection in the last day. Okay. And then there's two questions. What did the disciples think would happen if Jesus went to Judea? "But teacher," they said, "people want to kill you there." So they thought people would try to murder Jesus. When did Martha think Lazarus would return from the dead? Said Martha, "He'll come back with the rest on the last day." And that's the end of this story. So there's two more parts to this story, and we'll cover those in the following weeks. Thanks for listening, and happy Sabbath.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord for his truth. If you kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Oh. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with the Sabbath day. We thank you for answering our prayers, especially the prayers that we have for our loved ones that are lost, and even those that are sick, namely Deborah, Michelle, Nanita, Jacob, Kayla, Kidder, Luke, Nicholas III, Lee, Lou, Carol, John's dad, and Jesse. Father, there's a lot more names. These are just some that have recently come forth for prayer. But you know that we have many, 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 many people that are asking for prayer. And most of it is physical healings. And some are, of course, salvation issues. We pray that you bless us into the areas that we need to be so that we can help anybody that you send our way, whether it be for natural healings or the miraculous prayer of faith. We thank you, Father, for blessing us with the scriptures, as well as Sister White's writings, that opened the truth to us in ways that we never could have imagined years ago. And thank you for letting us be alive in these last days. Again, we ask that you bless those that help us do this work. Bless them in the way that you promised, because we know that you are a faithful Father to your children. And the blessings are very apparent, and we love to see your hand move. And thank you also, Father God, for letting us, church, your church, your son's bride, have the strength that we need to endure the days ahead. No matter where we are in this world, we know that we're scattered all around. Some of us haven't even met yet. We pray that you give us that strength that we need to stand firm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I was going to go this week into the next week, of course, I'll probably do it, unless, of course, the Lord gives me something new, because that has happened in the past, and I'll just move it to the next week. But I was going to do the 144,000 fruits starting today. But it has come to my attention that a little bit more detail is needed in regards to the 144,000 and scripturally speaking. That is a good thing to do. And so let's look a little deeper into the scriptures and see what they say about this Gideon band that I like to affectionately call them. Then if you do the study, you'll understand what that means. You know, the 144,000 stand with billions against them, just like Gideon's people had tens of thousands against them. And yet they stood victorious, as will the 144,000. In Deuteronomy 27, verses 12 and 13, all 12 of the tribes of Israel are listed. And then you can also see that in Revelation chapter 7, verses 5 to 8, they're listed again. However, the tribe of Dan has been replaced with Manasseh. You know, kind of like the Judas being replaced with the Matthias. So that's appearance of the word. And I don't want to get into another explanation as to who the true Israel was. I think we covered this a couple of weeks ago. We've done it a few times online. And as a matter of fact, my most recent newsletter about Shaking Israel, I go into detail and I show all the prophecies that were spoken of about how they would lose their favored nation status. And those people that are of, well, like, you know, Romans chapter 9, 6 says, they are not all Israel who are of Israel. And so I don't want to get into a deep discussion of that, but James chapter 1, verse 1 says, James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And again, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. This is the book of James. This is after the book of Acts. This is, you know, a time when he was also speaking to Gentiles. It appears Revelation does not accurately reproduce the original list of the 12 tribes, some will say, but under the new covenant, Israel is no longer just considered to be the blood-born Israelite. It's Jews according to the heart now. And for those of you that may be listening to this sermon months or years from now, the newsletter I'm talking about is the July 2006 newsletter, where I have a breakdown showing all the prophecies as well as some that statements that Jesus himself made in regards to the Jews and the end result of their denial. Anyway, getting back. Revelation 7, verses 2 to 4 says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servant of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that which were sealed, and they're sealed 144,000, all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, right before the return of Jesus, we see that the 144,000 receive the seal before the destructive winds are released. And a lot of people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit sealing that, you know, we as Christians get. But the fact of the matter is, the normal heaven-bound Christian is sealed at the moment of accepting Christ as Savior. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In whom ye have also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." It also says in chapter 4, verse 30 of the same book, it says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." So each faithful believer is already sealed with the Holy Spirit. But the seal that's put on this 144,000, their foreheads, they're already sealed Christians by the Holy Spirit. This is a different seal that's being spoken of here. Else they would not have received this particular mention. They already claim Christ Lord. It's just that they will be doing a different work, or as, you know, we understand, and the last time we discussed this, there's a new song that they sing that some that aren't part of the 144,000 but still gain heaven don't sing. You know, Revelation 14:1 says, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, and having his father's name written in their foreheads." And Revelation 22 verses 3 and 4 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." So the 144,000 sealed with the name of God and with the name of the Lamb on their foreheads reflect God's character and faithfully serve him. And as we learned a couple of weeks ago, because Brother Rob preached last week, the 144,000 will sing a new song and follow Jesus perfectly. Revelation 14:4 says, "These are they which were not defiled with women." And we understand what women are in prophecy. Those are churches. Jeremiah 6:2 confirms that. "For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." And then if you look at what Jeremiah says in chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase, and all that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord." So Revelation says that the 144,000 are designated as first fruits of God, and then Jeremiah confirms it, that they are really a part of the true Israel of God, when he states that these are the first fruits. they are the holiness unto the Lord, being, you know, set apart by God to fulfill a very special work. And as we learned in part one, that special work, well, Revelation 14:5 says, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, they shall trust in the name of the Lord, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall have a deceitful tongue be found in their, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. You know, the work of the 144,000 is so filled with truth. I mean, you know, the proclamations and what, and there's so much lack of fear involved here when they proclaim God's message. It's kind of like you could see it today too with some of the folks that aren't Sabbath keepers, and even some Sabbath keepers are in this way too, that they're afraid to expose that which the Vatican does, and you know, because of fear of reprisals and stuff like that. I've had radio broadcasts pulled off the air because, on a Christian radio station, I even was offered one time in Rhode Island to have a radio station when I sent because the guy came into Fire Talk years ago and wanted to put me on the air in Rhode Island, and then when I sent him more or less, I guess you could call it a demo, but all it was I says, okay, this is one of the sermons I will preach. And he says, man, if I put that on the air, they'll pull my license. Oh, and by the way, the word angel comes from the Greek word angelos, which means messenger. And so this is another representation of the 144,000 being messengers of God. Not so much angels, of course, but anyway. Getting back to this, the 144,000, the thing I like about it is the way their message is such a blessing unto those that hear it. In Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all the nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. So, as the 144,000 proclaimed the three angels' message, as Revelation 14:6 says, to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, this is what the 144,000 do, a great multitude will respond to their message. But who is the great multitude? Well, first you got the 144,000, which is Revelation 7, verse 4 says, and I heard a number of them that were sealed, and they were sealed, and then 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then we found out that the tribes have been listed, but one tribe has been changed. And then the multitude, like I just shared in Revelation 7, verse 9, being that great multitude. Again, let's not mix up the 144,000 with the great multitude. The 144,000 are a group which can be numbered. We already learned that. John said that in what he says here in Revelation 7, as well as Sister White confirmed that a couple of weeks ago when we read some of her comments in regards to that, how she confirmed it is an actual number. And the great, but the other number, that the other multitude that can't be numbered is specifically different. The great multitude was crying with a loud voice, and this is Revelation 7, verses 10 to 12. They were crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. So just like the 144,000, the people belonging to the great multitude glorified God for the salvation he gave them. So they're both a heaven-bound group of people. They join the heavenly host in worshiping the Lord. Then, in Revelation 7, verses 13 to 14, it says, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in the white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So the Bible says that the great multitude comes out of the great tribulation, or a great tribulation. This is the time that the 144,000 are active. Believers were persecuted in every century, yes. And some died without persecution, just, you know, like going to their grave in the normal death, because we, you know, there hasn't been massive persecution on the planet at all times globally. You know, we know about the time that the Catholic Church was killing the 500 million, that we can number anyway, which is a lot more than that. And then there's that downtime, and, you know, where people just, They grow up, they find Christ as Lord, and they live a happy life, and then they die a happy death. So there are people that have gone to their graves without persecution. To some, you know, to a massive, I mean, everybody gets it, but I'm, you know, to a massive respect. But our time is a special time. The last day tribulations will be more severe than ever before. Daniel says in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that at that time, Michael shall stand up. And we know who Michael is. For those of you that don't know who Michael is, there's a page on the website, Bible Truth section, that talks about Michael. And it shows, and it's an in-depth study. You just can't find one or two verses that is going to relate to you who Michael is. If you do an in-depth study and go piece by piece, follow him throughout the scriptures, the angel of the Lord, you'll find out who he is, who Michael is. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So we know that this is marking the time and the end. Because never will that time come when everybody comes out of the graves. Daniel also proclaims in verse 3 that, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So the same passage in Daniel links the last tribulation with turning many to righteousness. And again, the message proclaimed by the 144,000 in the last days does in fact lead many to righteousness. It will lead a great multitude to God, it said. So Daniel even speaks of this 144,000, but he actually more speaks of the end result of their actions. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 22 to 23 says, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages and other nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Again, we see yet another prophet linking the many converts with Israeli preachers, preachers of Israel. And by the way, this is why many think the Jews who deny Christ are the 144,000, because it's being mentioned here in this book, Zechariah, that they take hold of a Jew that then says, we will follow you. But it's when you read the Bible in context and you understand who the Lord calls a Jew or who the Lord calls Israel, you understand that these are spiritual Jews. Because no one's going to say, walking up to a Jew who denies Christ and says, we will follow you because we know that God is with you, because God's not with those who deny his son. Common sense. Christianity 101. That's just basic Christianity. It's the spiritual Jew, the Israel of God in the last days, that teaches that great multitude that Zechariah was talking about. Our witness, if we are of that number, causes many to come to Christ. A Jew that denies our Lord can never lead people to Christ. Hold on, let me just make a note here. Just don't forget to share something before I'm done, or before the Lord's done sharing. Let's go to Isaiah here. Oh, and by the way, that fact alone about the fact that Israel, it's speaking of the spiritual Israel, is when the man says, we will follow you. That fact alone proves that Zechariah was talking about spiritual Israel. Isaiah 55, verse 5 says, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Isaiah 60, verses 2 to 5 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be set upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And the abundance of the sea, of course, is many peoples, nations, and tongues. Revelation 18, plain and simple, verses 2 and 4 says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. And by the way, this mass acceptance of truth that the 144,000 proclaim, that brings literally thousands, you know, when each one speaks, that's why it's such a great multitude. This parallels that which happened when the early rain fell on Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1, verses 4 to 6, verse 16, verses 17 and 41, says this. Starting off with verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Then verses 4 to 6 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All languages. Okay. We heard inkling of that with the 10 men earlier. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, or at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man that speak in his own language, that man heard them speak in his own language. Verses 16 and 17 says, in Acts chapter 2, but this is that which was spoken to the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. And then verse 41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And that's just when 12 apostles preached. Okay, or 11. Or was it Matthias was already there in their number? But the 144,000, the great multitude, will soon join all the believers faithful to God throughout history. And all of them will receive Christ's white robe, as we see in Revelation 6, verses 9 and 11, which says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they led. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. This situation with Pentecost, we see the apostles preaching unto the people. We saw how so many were affected in the one day. And when the 144,000 go forth, you're going to see how that great multitude is just going to grow and grow and grow. And there's going to be a lot of persecutions involved in there too, because many of the, you know, they're going to be martyred. They're going to wash their, like the Revelation said, they're going to wash their robes with the blood of the Lamb. Finally, after that last tribulation, the 144,000, the great multitude, will know eternal happiness. Revelation 7, verses 13 to 17 says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in the white robes, and whence came they? And again, like we shared earlier, and I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun of light or the sunlight on upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living waters, or living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We understand the truth. We, as the remnant of her seed, since we understand this truth, we are the ones slated to be part of that 144,000. I would think the grand majority of us that understand the truth that we embrace are slated. Now, I say slated because we can step out of that blessing. We can choose not to be part of that number. But just like the unsaved spouse is sanctified by the saved spouse, that doesn't mean the person's guaranteed heaven. It's just that they got a little bit better chance to get there than most because they have a loved one praying. and a loved one preaching Christ unto them, even if no words are spoken. Sometimes we're the only Bible some people read. And so they see how we act. They see how, no matter how rough the trials and tribulations come, we still have a smile on our faces and say, today's a beautiful day, in which the Lord hath made. Since we know the time, we don't know the day or the hour, we know the time we're in. And since we know the truth that most on this world don't, isn't it obvious to you, as it is to me, what our calling is and what it is that we should be doing? We need to go forth and preach this message with the courage. No fear, no worry of reprisal. As Gideon, as he walked down there, he didn't have any fear. He knew the Lord was there for him. See, that's one of the neat things. It kind of reminds me of that little kid he was one of the president's sons. He was a little guy. He was about 6 or 7 years old. He was in the White House, and he was getting ready to walk into the Oval Office, and the Secret Service man stopped him. He says, "You can't go in there." And he goes, "But my daddy owns this place." And he grabbed the door handle, opened it, and walked right in. That's the kind of... Now, that's just a little kid looking for a natural daddy on earth. We have the Almighty Father in heaven who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, who will empty heaven of all the angels for just one of us, if need be, in this time of, you know, when the stuff gets a little bit more intense down here, as it is for some people. I did a newsletter about a year ago of persecution that's going on in some of the Muslim nations, where they're actually advertising the persecutions in living color, taking these big photographs in these gigantic magazines that they have in France that are also in Canada, and a friend of the ministry sent me the pictures, and I put it in a newsletter where they're actually killing people in front of cameras because they're Christians. So we know the time. We know the doctrines, we know the truth, we know the pillars of our faith. What's stopping us? We know what we're supposed to be doing. Some of us have been nudged in a certain direction and are seeking an answer to prayer. But I say the prayer's been answered. When you look at what the scriptures say in regards to what people that know as we know would be doing in this day. We are, I guess you could say, the 144,000 in infancy. Maybe there's 288 of us, 288,000 of us, and some of us have to drop out. Who knows? I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know any man's heart. All I'm saying is, we know what the 144,000 will do. We know the message they preach, because it's ours. So why sit back and let the other guy do it? Wouldn't you want to have that opportunity to go and sing that new song that no one else can sing, step into those areas that no one else can do, go to those other worlds and proclaim Him Lord? Wouldn't you want to see Him glorified by walking on water, raising the dead, healing the sick, walking on air? Walking on water is one thing, but hey, you could walk on air if you had to. Transport from one area to the next. And I'm not talking about using technology like Star Trek. I'm talking like Philip, ending up in one area to the next, or even how when Jesus stepped into the boat, they were immediately on the shore. Instantly, the boat somehow got to that shore. Next week, we're going to investigate the fruits of that Gideon band. I pray that this truth has sparked the desire implanted by the Lord already in your hearts, because you have already been sealed. You've all, you know, if we're Christians, most of us have already had our Pentecost Sunday experience. We've already had the seal of His Holy Spirit. Why not go for that seal upon the forehead as well that proclaims Him Lord? And there's a reason it was a little short today, because it's just a basic truth. 144,000, we know who they are. We know by, you know, we're going to find out the fruits next week, of course. Well, most of us already know that, but we're going to be, you know, going in to study that. But the main thing that the 144,000 are doing is, in Revelation, it shows their message is why that great multitude showed up. We got a job to do. What are we singing? When the world is called up yonder? Is that in the room, 463? If not, well, then he needs a book. Well, here. Just take this. I'll dig it up. See, 463. What page is it on our book stuff? Because we don't have anything in here in order. Front, middle. That doesn't help me, Fran. Well, I thought it. It fell open right to it. Okay, good. All right. When the roll is called up behind her, number 463. Oh, it's not in the room, right?
Right.
Okay, so.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breeze eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll for the Master from the dawn till setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen and amen. No more announcements before we pray. A few weeks ago, a couple of dozen people came forward for baptism. I need to ask you to send me an email. Whether you want us to send you the, some of you have already done this, but I need to know whether you want us to send you, if you want to do the baptism Bible studies, in email format or in regular mail. If you want email format, tell me what email address you want it sent to. If it's regular address, just send me your address. And we'll print them up and send them out to you. So, with that said, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Scriptures that reveals the truth all throughout its pages. Thank you for revealing to us the work that the 144,000 will be doing. And since we already have the same doctrinal stand or theological background as they do, we pray that our faith is blessed in such a way that the latter rain falls upon us more abundantly and we're able to go forth and be part of that number. So thank you, Father, for blessing us with a deep desire that James 4:8 speaks of about drawing nigh to you. And thank you for one day removing all the filthiness that we have upon us and placing upon us the robe of Christ. Bless us with many opportunities to bring souls to salvation. And knowing that nothing that we do is of our own work. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. We understand that. You do it all, Father. You do it all. And we even thank you for helping us with our memory, as John 14:26 so perfectly proclaims, because some of us have a real hard time with that. But you're right there beside us, letting us know where to go in Scripture, or even where to go in life. So thank you, Father, for blessing us. Bless the remainder of this Sabbath day. If we sin in any way, reveal it to us so that we won't do it a second time. Thank you for giving us a beautiful day and for blessing us with opportunities even today to see your hand move. And thank you for keeping us safe in the week ahead, especially those of us that have been called by you to work in the secular world and share our faith with others, even if it means just by actions alone, because some people watch us. And so thank you for blessing us with a way to share Christ, even if it's just a smile that we use. In Jesus' name we pray.